On the show today, we have Tim Howell joining us. You guys know Tim very well from all of the sports coverage he's done. He's here today to give us a preview of what's coming for high school football in Frisco this fall season, as well as some updates on the Rough Riders. Going to talk to you about a recent restaurant visit to Mashed, and as always, the weekend roundup. This is the Frisco Podcast for August 14th, 2014. All right, so Tim, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Scott. My pleasure.
Good to have you here. Finally got you actually on the podcast.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so thanks for coming in. Going on with sports, there's a whole bunch of stuff coming up. I think we got some Rough Riders action. We've got some high school football is about to kick off. That's always a fun time.
Absolutely. As you know, in this part of the country, and in Texas for sure, high school football, very, very big deal. And we're looking at just about 10 to 12 days away from what they call week zero, Scott. And all kinds of exciting things happening in Frisco ISD, including a brand new school, Frisco Independence. It's actually going to have its inaugural season. It's actually big enough starting off. This tells you a lot about the growth of the city. But a brand new school is big enough to slide right into the new redistricted 9-5A, which is all of the Frisco public schools, except for Legacy Christian, will be jumbled together with 9-5A in there with the Colony and Little Elm. So, yeah, pretty exciting stuff, Scott, for sure.
Okay, so for those of us that maybe don't quite keep up with the districts as well, is it just Frisco schools, or are there some others in there as well?
You know, it's predominantly Frisco schools. It's all the Frisco public schools, including, of course, the brand-new Frisco Independence, with the Little Elm Lobos and the Colony Cougars, which are two holdovers from the old 4A districting of a year ago. So It's very Frisco-heavy, for sure.
So there's going to be lots of infighting in Frisco, is what you're telling me?
Yes, absolutely. It's great for natural rivalries and all that stuff. It should be a lot of fun. And it's going to be good, too, for the newer teams. There's a couple of teams like Frisco Lone Stars being bumped up from 3A all the way up to 5A. And so them and Frisco Independence, it's going to be a fight, but they'll be able to establish their presence in a really, really tough district. So
okay. So give us the rundown. How does everybody look this year going into the season?
Well, let's see. You know, some familiar faces, a lot of returning players, some teams younger, some teams a little bit older. It's kind of, the old stalwarts are going to be picked to make it to the playoffs this year. You have Frisco High, the Raccoons, of course, are coming off a 5-2 year. And they actually surprised a lot of people. They made it all the way to the Division II regional semifinals last year. And the only thing that they really have to be concerned with is replacing last year's actually Lifestyle Frisco MVP, Jake Battaglia. That kind of leaves a big hole. It's going to be up to Lucas Reynolds, a fullback. He's going to be asked to not only provide some key blocks for that Vance Gibson wing T offense, but also to pick up the running game slack as well. With the Raccoons, they're scrappy. It seems like they're always at their best once they're in the playoffs, so they can never be taken lightly. Then, of course, you have the Centennial Titans. They were 6-1 in district a year ago, made it to the area finalist rounds. They're probably going to be, I'd say, the likely favorite, Scott, in 9-5A. They got speed just all over the place, over-brimming with speed, both sides of the ball. You have outside linebacker Brandon Anderson. He's a sub-4.5 runner, been clocked at a 4.3. And you also have running back Anthony Pegwis, also 4.4, 4.3-ish. Both those guys are going to be key to the Titans' success this year.
Oh, they got some speed to work with.
Oh, yeah, man. As speed awesome. All over the place. They have one of the fastest O-lines, too, in the district, easy. You got the Heritage Coyotes. They did not make the playoffs last year. They were 3-4, right on the cusp. But they're going to benefit from the two, you know, the smaller schools, Lone Star and then the brand-new Frisco Independence. I'd look for them to probably, I wouldn't be surprised if they can win 4 or 5 games and be right on the cusp of making the playoffs this year. They also have 9 starters returning, always a good sign. It should be a little, there's not going to be a whole lot of confusion because you have so many guys, you lessen the learning curve because these guys have been playing together for 2 or 3 years now. You have wide receiver Keaton White and quarterback Malik Walker. Those guys, two game-changing type talents. I wouldn't be surprised if the Coyotes are a dark horse in 9-5A, so watch out for that. Then, of course, we've talked about a little bit, it's the Independence Knights. So, brand new school. So many schools here in Frisco and so much room for further growth. But it'll be a brand new head coach, Kyle Story. He's starting off his high school football coaching career with a first-year program. It's perfect, you know. It's a very young team, but they have a foundation to be a force in the upcoming years. And you got to love the fact that a new program starts off in a district with so many inner-city rivals. It's one of the things that I'm really excited about for the 2014-2015 season. It's great for fans, and it's great for high school football in general. Then, of course, you have the Liberty Redhawks. They were 2-5 last year, kind of a letdown, did not make the playoffs. But they do have 9 returning starters on defense, and they got arguably one of the most talented players overall in the district in Chris McFall. He headlines the offense. And the Redhawks are surely going to look to improve over last year's. It was kind of a lackluster performance, but again, they have a lot of talent. A lot of guys have been playing together for years. And if some of the kind of unknown youngsters step up, they could easily challenge for a district, at least a playoff berth, I would say. And, of course, you have the Wakeland Wolverines, always top-notch. When I think of Wakeland Wolverines, I think of defense. They were 5-2 last year by district finalists. They're always boasting one of the top defenses, as we've spoken of. The Wolverines, Dean, it's not going to be any exception to that rule this year. And also, you have running back and last year's MVP, Brent Altieri. And it's a football team. It's going to make a push for the playoffs at the very least. I'd say they'll be seeded probably first or second. It's going to be a real nail-biter between the Titans and the Raccoons as well as the Wolverines. Then we talked about the Lone Star Rangers. Now they're making a huge jump from 3A to 5A is something else. Tell you what, they're not going to miss leaving behind Salina and Aubrey, and that was a very, very difficult 3A district they were in a year ago. But 3A to 5A, it's going to be a rough one. I'd look for Lone Star and Independence to be very competitive against each other this year. Head-to-head matchup. It's going to be intense. It's going to be fun to watch. And it's always fun to watch. Now sophomore Jason Shelley. He's most definitely on the rise. Probably the top sophomore in the district, I'd say. Quarterback. He also comes out of the backfield at tailback as well. So Lone Star Ranger is going to be a lot of fun.
All right, so we got a few good players to keep our eyes on. And it sounds like some pretty good matchups. I mean, for all the talk of great football in Texas, high school football, we really don't even have to leave Frisco to get our own share, does it?
No, not at all. The furthest you might have to drive is Little Elm, possibly the Colony. But, yeah, there's always going to be at least one head-to-head matchup on any given weekend. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Very exciting year.
All right. Well, that is something to look forward to. Thank you for the rundown. And as always, we will have a preview post as well that will be coming out soon with all of this stuff in there. So all the fans of the different schools can get on there and tell us what a great job we did or blast us because we didn't pump them up enough. That's okay. We understand. We got to call it as we see it.
Sure. Definitely.
So let's shift gears a little bit and let's talk about the Rough Riders. What's going on with our baseball team?
Man, the Rough Riders, it's just really amazing to me, Scott, that they had the best record in the first half of the Texas League, and they've kind of dropped off a little bit in the second half, but it should be no surprise because just about everybody, every key prospect has been promoted to the Rangers. Because obviously Texas is kind of going through a train wreck of a season with injuries and whatnot, but Rough Riders still some very, very exciting names that you want to keep your eyes on. And if you get the chance, head up to Dr. Pepper Ballpark just to check out Joey Gallo. He's on pace right now to lead the entire minor leagues. And that's not just double A, it's triple A, single A, low A, high A, the entire minor leagues in home runs for the second straight year. Last I looked a couple of days ago, he's at 38. He hit 40 combined last year to win the title. So Joey Gallo, come check him out. A lot of fun. He's also very good defensively. So it's a good time watching Joey Gallo in our own backyard here in Frisco.
So we've sent a bunch of guys up to the Rangers this year,
yes.
Haven't we?
Oh, yeah.
And how does that leave us looking going into the playoffs? Are the Rough Riders going to be okay, or are they going to be short a lot of really good players that we've had to send to the majors?
Well, I mean, that's a great point. I mean, you have Luis Sardinas and Rougned Odor, who not only made it up to the Rangers, but they're pretty much just like day-in and day-out starters, especially Odor. And anytime you lose a talent like that, it's going to affect you. Jake Smolinski also is another guy. He touched down in double-A for about 10 games, was at triple-A for 5. Then before you know it, he's starting left field on the big leagues, but now they're still going to be okay, and that has a lot to do with the recent promotions of two more just top-notch Baseball America-rated top prospects in the Rangers organization, and catcher Jorge Alfaro and outfielder Nomar Mazara. Alfaro is, I would say, definitely the future at backstop for the Texas Rangers. Solid hitting approach. I went to the game on Saturday, Scott, and just when he fouls off a ball, you hear this a lot, but it just kind of sounds different when he makes contact. It's more like a shotgun and a soundproof room. It's just explosive. That guy can really, really hit.
Well, that should scare the other teams.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's great for the intimidation factor.
That's
right. He can scoot, too. For a catcher, he can really run. Big, athletic body, about 6'2", 220. He's going to be awesome. And I don't know if he can pick up the slack opened up by, the promotions of Sardinas, Smolinski, and Odor, but certainly a very good middle-of-the-lineup type presence. And, of course, you have Nomar Mazara as well, a very, very toolsy outfielder.
All right. Well, anything else we need to know about sports coming up here in the near future?
Man, that's about it. We don't want to give away our full hand before we produce the high school football preview, which is going to have all kinds of cool inside stuff and whatnot. But
we do got to hold a few things back.
We got
so
it. We got
to look forward to that, and we'll be sure to link and post that out there for everybody.
For sure.
So it's great preview, man. Thank you for coming on board to help us out with that. Now, I grew up in Indiana where basketball was the big thing. But now I'm kind of getting excited about some high school football. So
hey, there you go. Welcome to Texas, Scott. It's official now.
I've been here long enough. It's about time.
You're right.
It's about time. Last weekend, Wendy and I had a chance to go out and hit a relatively new restaurant in Frisco called Mashed. Have you been there, Tim? Have
you? You know, I haven't, but I've heard a lot of good things about it.
It's a very cool place. We had a great experience there. It is a, I guess, a whiskey bar for all intents and purposes, but it's a restaurant. They have full service food, and the most of their drinks are mixed mixology, some frozen. Hybrid types of drinks. So it's nothing but like straight whiskey or anything like that. But we had a couple of different drinks. They were both very, very good. I think you do definitely need to watch yourself a little bit. Don't get too carried away when you're there. You know, pace yourself, please.
I can see that happening.
Yeah,
yeah.
They can sneak up on you a little bit. And we had a full dinner, and we tried a myriad of different things. We left very full. In particular, I had the ribs, which were really surprisingly fantastic. There's some good ribs around town, but these were just like the falling off the bone. I mean, I couldn't even, you know, I pick them up and everything was just falling apart. It was wonderful.
Making me hungry.
And here's the miracle part. I wore a white shirt and didn't get anything on it.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it was. It was.
Any photographic proof?
I was waiting for an award, and nobody came out of the nobody came out from behind the bar for that one. But
do you have a full bib or
no?
Wow,
no, I was just exceedingly careful.
I'm impressed.
Yeah,
you were first date careful.
My wife was impressed.
Wow, that's I bet, man.
So, anyways, if you guys have not been out to Mashed yet, it's over near Stonebriar. It's on Preston Road, and it faces east, so it's on the west side of Preston, and it's just south of where the Starbucks and the Twin Peaks restaurants are right there, and just kind of north of Stonebriar. So we'll actually be doing a full write-up on them with all the details and all of our thoughts about the visit, but I would definitely recommend checking them out. They have a great patio as well, which can be a little bit daunting this time of year. Sometimes a little hot for that, but you know, we've had some nice evenings as well, so if you happen to catch a nice evening, definitely get there early enough to get a seat, because the patio was getting pretty packed.
I can imagine. It's been pretty nice later at night. In the 80s, that's doable. So.
Yeah, it's manageable.
Patio weather.
I'd say all things being equal, we've had a pretty decent summer, with the exception of the last couple of weeks where we finally caught up to us a little bit.
Oh, for sure.
Speaking of getting out and patios and all that fun stuff, we're going to go ahead and dive into what's happening this weekend on the Weekend Roundup.
So you're actually looking at a little bit of a quiet weekend this weekend. There's not a ton of stuff going on as we normally have, and that's par for the course in August. Most of our sports teams are either off or traveling this weekend, so there's not a lot of sports to go see. However, there are a few things going on around town. First and foremost, on Thursday and Saturday, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., you can go take a tour of the trains that are parked outside the Frisco Discovery Center. So if you or perhaps one of your little ones happens to be a big fan of trains, head on out there. You'll get a chance to walk through them. There'll be a little bit of climbing involved. There is an admission fee. It's $7 for adults and $3 for kids. But if you like trains, that's definitely something to go do. And also on Thursday night, Alice in Wonderland is playing at the Plano Children's Theater. And that's going to actually run from August 14th through the 30th. And showtimes are 2:15, 5:15, and 7:15 in the Black Box Theater, which is also there inside the Frisco Discovery Center. And on Friday, we didn't come up with a whole lot of stuff to do, so you're on your own for Friday night. Saturday, as always, the Frisco Farmers Market is going on. Starts at 8 a.m. and will run until they sell out of stuff that's... I think they close at 1 o'clock at the latest, but you're getting pretty slim by the time you get all the way out to 1. So if you haven't been out to the Frisco Farmers Market before, go check it out. There's a lot of good stuff there. Recommendation is to get there early because they will sell out of most of their stuff. Again, the train tours are also happening on Saturday. So there's a few things to do there. And then most of the rest of the weekend is pretty quiet. And then on Tuesday, we've got the Frisco City Council meeting, so if you are interested in attending the City Council meeting, that does typically happen on the first and third Tuesday of each month, and that is inside the City Council chamber at the George Purefoy Municipal Center, so right there in Frisco Square. So the meeting starts at 6:30 p.m., and citizen input time is around 7:30, give or take how the meeting goes. So, again, a little bit of a quiet weekend this weekend. Not a ton of stuff happening around town, but that's okay. There's plenty of great restaurants out there to go check out. Summer's coming close to an end, so get out there, find yourself a patio, have a good time.
All right, that's it for this week. Thanks again to Tim Howell for coming out and joining us. Good to have you here.
Hey, my pleasure, Scott. Thanks for having me.
We will have you back soon, and we'll see you guys next week on the Frisco Podcast.